Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news this noon, Raleigh-based Red Hat announced global layoffs. What we've learned about the move in the last few hours. And I'm tracking our next potential for rain that arrives late in the week. I'll show you which day looks the wettest.
And new information about ways scientists are helping some of our staple crops fight back against climate change. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. We are following some breaking news this afternoon. Just in the last few hours, Red Hat announced global layoffs are on the way.
WRAL's Brian Schrader is here now with what we know about the cuts so far, Brian.
Michelle and Jeff, in just the past 10 minutes, WRAL's Matt Tallhelm said the company is not giving interviews or providing any further comment about the story. WRAL News got a copy of a Red Hat company email this morning. In it, Red Hat CEO Matt Hicks said that the layoffs will begin this week. The email said that Red Hat is laying off just under 4% of the staff around the world. About 19,000 people work for Red Hat globally, so we're talking about several hundred people who will lose their jobs. But the email says the layoffs will not affect roles directly selling to customers or building products. We don't know if any of the hundreds of employees in the Raleigh headquarters will be affected by all this. And, of course, Red Hat has a rich history in Raleigh, being on the forefront of the Triangle's tech scene for decades. The company started in Raleigh 30 years ago. In 2012, it moved downtown to its prominent headquarters on Fayetteville Street and bought the naming rights to the amphitheater in downtown Raleigh. And then in 2019, IBM bought Red Hat for $34 billion. You can read more about the layoffs in our story right now at WRALTechWire.com.
We'll see how close they come to hitting home. Brian, thanks for the update.
And this noon hour, we're following some breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. We're looking into a structure collapse at a Wake Forest home that was under construction. Take a look at new video into our newsroom when Sky 5 was over the scene in the last couple of hours. You can see right there workers standing around, but then that part of that house that was collapsed right in, we're told that what we've been able to ascertain from this video, the worker who was befallen by this was rescued by first responders and taken away in that ambulance. We're working to find out exactly the identity of that person and exactly how this happened. But again, this is video from Sky 5 within the last couple of hours of that structure collapse of a home in Wake Forest. As soon as we get any new information, as you can see him, that worker being carted away there to the ambulance, we're working to find out his identity, how he's doing, and exactly why this collapse happened.
A scary situation. Thanks, Ken. Work is underway at this hour to repair a sewer line in North Raleigh. The work will impact one lane of traffic on Glenwood Avenue outside the Beltline, specifically between Kodiak Drive and Paula Ann Court. Sky 5 flew over the scene as work got underway a little after 10 o'clock this morning. Prepare for delays in the area for the next few days. Work is expected to last until Wednesday.
Get ready for changes in our weather pattern. Several systems will roll through our area later this week and could bring a significant amount of rain with them. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at our rain timeline for the weekend. Elizabeth.
This morning we had a little disturbance that swung by. That's mostly out of the viewing area. And we'll get a little break after that with this high pressure system building in. It's going to bring us dry conditions. But let's move it ahead to Wednesday. This is Wednesday morning. And on this version of FutureCast, we're fairly dry on Wednesday. We do see some showers that start to approach. But Wednesday would be the first day that we're going to start to really see the pattern change. Wednesday is not looking terribly wet. We move it ahead to Thursday, and this is 8 a.m., and you can see some showers in the southern half of the viewing area, and we may see some more rain maybe on and off. But again, Thursday is looking fairly dry. Friday looks like the wettest day of the week, potentially. Notice here at 6 a.m., we start to see some rain moving in. We'll have a potentially band of thunderstorms. Some of these could be strong to severe. That starts to move in around midday through the afternoon, and then starts to pull out. Right now, Saturday is trending a little drier. We're looking at variably cloudy skies on Saturday. Couldn't rule out an isolated shower on Saturday with some lingering moisture and a bit more of a northerly flow potentially. And then another system developing. You can watch this back here across parts of the deep south. This is Saturday at 9 p.m. That's likely to move through on Sunday. So we have multiple days in a row where we could see rain. Again, today we've had an isolated shower. Mostly we're finished with that, but there could be a little sprinkle. Tuesday looks dry. Wednesday and Thursday, it looks like our potential would be fairly isolated. And right now, Friday looks like it could be the wettest day, but we could also see some showers and thunderstorms on Sunday. Temperatures will also be on the chilly side. I'll show you why that is coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. This past weekend's rain helped firefighters make progress on a massive wildfire in the Croatan National Forest in eastern North Carolina. As of this morning, that fire is 30% contained. Saturday's thunderstorms dumped as much as half an inch of rain on the Great Lakes fire. At last check, that fire covers 36,000 acres.
And we're following some breaking news here in the WRL Live Center. In a stunning move just within the last 15 minutes, Fox News reporting that they're parting ways with Tucker Carlson. He hosted the 8 p.m. time slot, Tucker Carlson Tonight, and Carlson's final show was Friday. Now, if you recall, we've been reporting here all week last week. Fox recently settled a Dominion lawsuit in which many of the Fox News stars, including Carlson, perpetuated unfounded narratives about the presidential election in 2020 related to the Dominion voting machines about fraud. Well, again, Fox News announcing within the last 15 minutes that Tucker Carlson is out.
All right, Ken, thank you for that. A Sharpsburg woman is charged with murder after the town's mayor tells WRL she stabbed and killed a man. 48-year-old Tammy Etheridge is being held in the Wilson County Jail without bond. The Sharpsburg mayor says Etheridge stabbed Quentin Dortch at her home on MLK Circle overnight. Dortch later died. Investigators did not say what led up to the incident. They will do an autopsy to determine where exactly he was stabbed. Etheridge's mother tells WRL her daughter and the victim had a complicated relationship. She believes Dortch was at the house last night trying to convince Etheridge to take him back. And one person is dead after a fiery crash on the Triangle Expressway between Apex and Holly Springs. This happened around midnight on Saturday. Troopers tell us the white BMW lost control and ran off the road, hitting that minivan. The driver of the BMW, 19-year-old Isabella Anna Sedano of Fuquay Varina, died at the scene. There were six people in the minivan at the time, including three children. They were all taken to the hospital and are expected to recover.
We learned this morning disgraced singer R. Kelly is serving a federal prison sentence here in our area. He's being housed at the federal prison in Butner. Robert Sylvester Kelly is the singer's full name. Kelly is serving a 30-year sentence on a 2021 conviction on federal racketeering and sex trafficking charges. Then in February, a federal judge sentenced Kelly to 20 years in prison. A jury found he produced three videos of himself sexually abusing his 14-year-old goddaughter. Kelly's not the first high-profile inmate at the federal prison in Butner. Unabomber Ted Kaczynski is also serving his sentence there. Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff was at the Butner facility until his death in 2021. And the former Oklahoma zookeeper, known as Joe Exotic, spent time at Butner in 2021. He has since been transferred to a facility in Texas. Let's take a look at stocks this noon as we get the trading week started. The S&P 500 coming off a terrible down week last week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, as you see, it stands here in negative territory. Spent much of the early morning hours in positive territory, but down 35 points right now.
A hearing today will set next steps for the future of voter ID in our state. A decision will determine whether the case goes before a three-judge panel. Voters in 2018 approved amendments to the state constitution approving voter ID and income tax cap. And a lawsuit argued the legislature lacked the authority to put those amendments on the ballot because of gerrymandering. The amendments have been tied up in the courts ever since. And today is the 10th anniversary of Moral Monday, a series of marches and rallies held at the state legislature to call for change. The events drew attention to North Carolina politics and put Reverend William Barber in the national spotlight. Tonight, now Bishop Barber and dozens of advocacy groups will gather at the state capitol for what they call a recommitment rally to mark the occasion.
The North Carolina Community College System is welcoming its new president this afternoon. Dr. Jeff Cox is his name. He was the president of Wilkes Community College. Now he will lead community colleges across the state. He'll be formally introduced during a news conference that starts at 3 this afternoon.
Next at noon, planes on fire with passengers aboard. It happened twice, and now American Airlines is investigating what happened. Also, scientists are helping vital crops cope with climate change. See a strain of climate-resistant rice they say could solve some of the world's problems still ahead.
Plus, Chromebooks were the solution to learning from home during the pandemic. Still ahead at noon, how the devices are causing a new set of problems for schools. All American embassy officials are now out of the capital of Sudan as violence there keeps growing. Helicopters flew in and out all day Sunday. President Biden ordered the mission to evacuate the American diplomats as rival Sudanese military leaders battle for control of that country. French and Italian missions also carried out many of their citizens to safety. Around 16,000 Americans remain in Sudan, many of them with dual citizenship.
American Airlines is now investigating two separate incidents where its planes caught fire with passengers on board. The most recent one happened on Sunday morning when a bird hit an aircraft engine, forcing the plane to make an emergency landing. You can see flames shooting out from the plane's engines there. Marnie Kalistad captured the mid-air scare on camera.
My heart just broke, honestly, for so many people on the plane. I could hear them crying, and I just wanted us to all be okay.
American Airlines says the flight was heading from Ohio to Phoenix, but turned around and landed normally and safely. The airline says no one was hurt. The incident comes less than a week after an American Airlines plane caught fire in Charlotte on the runway just before takeoff.
Nobody hurt, but super scary there.
Yeah.
A protest is planned for this afternoon in Kentucky after a county sheriff hired the former police officer who shot and killed Breonna Taylor. The Carroll County Sheriff's Department has hired Miles Cosgrove, one of the three officers who fired their weapons during the raid on Taylor's apartment. FBI experts concluded he fired the shot that killed Taylor. Louisville Police Department fired Cosgrove for violating use of force procedures and not using a body camera. However, he faces no criminal charges and his state certification was not revoked, meaning he is eligible for other jobs in law enforcement. Former Minnesota police officer Kimberly Potter has been released from prison. She served 16 months of a 2-year sentence for the deadly shooting of Dante Wright. Potter was convicted of two counts of manslaughter in the killing of 20-year-old Wright during a 2021 traffic stop near Minneapolis. He was pulled over for having expired tags, and Potter claims she mistakenly shot Wright with her gun instead of a taser.
Some scientists say climate change is making it riskier to rely on certain regions to produce crops that we need.
Researchers say increased greenhouse gas emissions triggered by fossil fuel use is causing extreme weather events to strike more frequently. Marianne Rafferty explains why researchers hope their new crops can survive under these harsh conditions.
In a world many scientists say is facing the worsening effects of climate change, researchers are under mounting pressure to modify crops so they can withstand more frequent extreme weather events. Located in the Philippines, teams at the International Rice Research Institute are revealing their progress in creating climate-resistant rice.
As the environments fluctuate more and more, the stability of yield becomes lower.
Scientists are using a technique called marker-assisted breeding to take the best qualities from one type of rice and incorporate them into other varieties.
What we hope is that, you know, these varieties will lead to improved stability and reduced risk in rice cultivation so the farmers can, earn better and have less cost of production.
So far, they've made drought-resistant rice that can grow with very little water and last for weeks in regions facing severe drought.
It's good that even if there is no water, there can still be hope.
For areas plagued by increased rainfall, researchers are experimenting with flood-resistant rice that can live 2 weeks longer while underwater. Meanwhile, for farmers facing rising sea levels, teams are also working on a salt-resistant rice that will have an easier time surviving in places overcome by ocean water.
That was Marianne Rafferty reporting. Scientists have already released their drought-resistant rice, which is currently being planted in India, the Philippines, and Nepal.
New strawberries are being developed to resist deadly diseases. Scientists have been testing five different types of strawberries that could benefit farmers. Many strawberry farmers have to deal with a contagious fungus that leads to the loss of strawberries. These new strawberries are stronger and they also taste better. One of the varieties can even be made in the fall and the winter, giving farmers access to a greater strawberry supply.
It is growing season, and we certainly have had plenty of rain to help that along. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center, including a little bit this morning.
And it is strawberry season. Yes. I finally made it over to my favorite strawberry stand over this weekend. I'm like, I cannot believe that this is the first time I've been over there. Ah, my favorite part of spring for sure. We have had a few scattered showers out there this morning. They've all been in our southern counties. So we're looking at a little bit of light rain around Lumberton that continues to push eastward. Most likely, we're not going to see much more of this, but we couldn't completely rule out another little sprinkle. You can see that here on Futurecast. A little bit of that starts to show up, maybe moves past Goldsboro and then on out of here. And that'll be the end of it. And skies will continue to clear. Now, by 5 o'clock, there could be a few isolated clouds, a little bit of cloud cover that pops up out there, but we should continue to see clearing skies. This is a look at downtown Durham and the DBAP. They are getting ready to start a homestand tomorrow. And the homestand begins with Education Day. So there'll be a lot of educational exhibits and then a game at 11 o'clock tomorrow. And the weather looks cool, but it does look bright. As a matter of fact, tomorrow looks like one of the nicest days of the week that we'll have to get outside. Right now it's 59 in the triangle. Our dew point is 34, and that's a low number, meaning that it's fairly dry. So any of these showers that are popping up down south, a lot of that's not reaching the ground because it's just so dry out there. A lot of it's evaporating. Temperatures will climb on up into the mid to upper 60s as we head through the afternoon, but that's definitely cooler than normal for this time of year. We take a look at our wind speeds. Still a little gusty. The gusts are in that white box, so we're gusting to 16 in Raleigh, 17 in Goldsboro, and 16 in Southern Pines. Our winds are coming out of the northeast, and that's why it's chilly today. Our steady winds are at about 10 to 15, give or take a few degree miles per hour. Around town, 67 in Durham and Raleigh, and 69 in Fayetteville. So definitely a cool day today, even with that sunshine trying to break out. It's going to be a chilly night tonight, much colder than it was this morning. So 38 in Roxboro, 40 Clarksville, 41 South Hill, 41 in Roanoke Rapids, and even in Rocky Mount and Lewisburg. But these temperatures are not quite cold enough to really produce any widespread frost. Best chance would be potentially parts of Person County. There could be some spots also in our western counties or down into the Sand Hills in low-lying spots. Sometimes Sanford, we see those temperatures dropping, kind of 42 in Sanford, maybe 40 degrees in Robbins. But still, we want to see a forecast of about maybe 35, 36, 37 to really be too worried about frost. Definitely back across the Appalachians, the mountains will be cold overnight tonight. The blue area is a freeze warning. The darker blue is freeze warning. The lighter blue, frost advisory. But none of that in our viewing area. Tomorrow is going to be a pretty day, but it stays cool just like today, even though it's going to be a cold start. We'll see temperatures at 11 o'clock at around 58 and at 1 o'clock 63. Good education days for tomorrow. Game starts at 11. There'll be thousands of school kids from around the area that get to take part in education days and get to see the ball game. Lots of fun. I'm hoping to be there in the storm tracker tomorrow. And then Hurricanes game tomorrow night at 5 o'clock 67. So that's going to be on the cool side, but, you know, still maybe warm enough to do a little bit of tailgating before the game. Our temperatures are really not going to warm up for us much in the next 5 days or so. We continue to have a northeasterly flow today, but the main flow is still coming out of the west-northwest. It's going to keep our temperatures cool. There's Wednesday. We're going to see a bigger trough that begins to develop as we get into the weekend. Again, feeding a lot of cold air down into the deep south, and we'll continue to see that in our area. So 75 is our normal high. And our highs will be in the 60s all the way through Friday. Into next week, the 29th through May 1st, we still have a good chance of below normal temperatures. We may bump up a little bit on Saturday and Sunday on up into the 70s, but it does look wet, especially Friday and Sunday. And coming up, we're going to go over the timeline for those showers again.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Infant deaths due to unsafe sleep environments and gun violence against children. Those are the main highlights of a child safety report in Durham. Tonight at 5, WRAL's Monica Casey walks us through the ways this report could spark change in the Bull City.
And how feasible is it to get around the triangle without a car? Coming up tonight at 6, WRAL investigates puts public transit to the test, how it did, and the ways the city is looking to improve the system. But still ahead this noon, Bed Bath & Beyond files for bankruptcy. Up next, the huge discounts you could soon see as that company prepares to close all of its stores.
And Durham will soon open its new Family Justice Center. A closer look at how they plan to help hundreds of families just ahead.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, the Carolina Hurricanes are getting ready for Game 5 of their game against the New York Islanders. They're one win away from making it into the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The team just wrapped up a news conference within the last 10, 15 minutes. Take a listen to what forward Stephen Nason said about the team stepping up after so many injuries recently.
I think the way we play is it's very simple. It's you know, I hate to say it's kind of dummy-proof, but it's kind of dummy-proof. Like, you do your job. You do your job, you do it well, and as long as you work hard, you know, Rod rewards that. And that's one thing he's preached since day one, since I've been here. It's, you know, day one since I think he's taken over is building that culture that, you know, yes, it is next man up, but it also, if you work hard, you're going to get rewarded for it.
Of course, fans know there were some key injuries recently. Andrew Svechnikov got injured toward the end of the season. Tervo Teravainen broke his hand in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And, of course, the win in New York a couple of days ago was significant because last year the Hurricanes failed to win one single road game. So that's a good thing that they won in New York. Game 5 is tomorrow night. Puck drops at 7 at PNC Arena.
Big game. Thanks, Ken. Well, business travel may never come back to what it was before the pandemic, and Bed Bath & Beyond will close all of its stores as it files for bankruptcy. Those are among today's business headlines with Caroline Woods.
Bed Bath & Beyond has filed for bankruptcy after multiple turnaround efforts failed. The retailer will conduct going-out-of-business sales and look for buyers of its remaining assets like its brand. It expects to eventually close all of its remaining 360 Bed Bath & Beyond stores, as well as 120 Bye Bye Baby locations. As for those popular 20% off coupons, you'll have all day today and tomorrow to use them. Stores will stop accepting them on Wednesday. Instead, the chain will offer deep discounts with its going-out-of-business sales. And Lyft is cutting at least 1,200 jobs in a new round of layoffs. The Wall Street Journal reports the cost-cutting could affect 30% or more of the company's 4,000 employees. Lyft does not count its drivers as employees. The layoffs may help reduce Lyft's costs by 50%, according to the report. Lyft has been struggling to keep up with Uber, which gets a boost from its Uber Eats business and its global ride-sharing operations. And business travel isn't going back to what it was before the pandemic. That's according to a report from research firm Morning Consult. Part of the reason is that virtual meetings have replaced the need for some in-person ones. Another reason, travel budgets are tighter, with things like corporate retreats being cut. Business travelers are also younger and increasingly flying economy. All of this is making for a new normal in business travel. And those are your business headlines. I'm Caroline Woods at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Check your spice cabinet. There's a recall alert on ground cumin. Lipari Foods says some of their tubs of cumin might have salmonella contamination. The tubs look like this and have the Lipari branding on them. Our state is one of 16 where these tubs were sold. If you have one of these tubs with a best by date of September 2024, don't use it. Return it.
We are counting down the days until the NFL draft. Just 3 days, you see here, until the Carolina Panthers will be on the clock with the first pick and likely be selecting their quarterback of the future. We'll make sure you're ready for it. Gerald Owens is headed to Kansas City for the draft. His reports begin tomorrow night. Be sure to join us for a special edition of our 7 o'clock news on Thursday. We will have team coverage from the draft site in Kansas City and the Panthers party at home in Charlotte. Our sports team will break down how this could be a turning point for the franchise. All of this ahead of the draft, which starts at 8 o'clock Thursday night.
Coming up, more support is on the way for victims of sexual and family violence in Durham. An inside look at the city's new Family Justice Center.
Plus, could firefighters use artificial intelligence to battle wildfires? How a California utility hopes the new technology can be used for good. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Survivors of domestic violence, sexual violence, and human trafficking have a new resource available to them.
Local leaders held a ribbon cutting to celebrate opening Durham's first Family Justice Center. And WREL's Laura Levine was there for the event.
Many people gathered here right outside the new Durham Family Justice Center, all sharing the same sentiments that more needs to be done to provide access to justice for all who are threatened by violence. And they believe with this new facility, they're one step closer to doing just that. A ribbon-cutting ceremony to unveil what's being considered a possible safe place for survivors brought together dozens of people from Legal Aid NC, county commissioners, Durham Police, the DA's office, and more. The Durham Family Justice Center is the first of its kind in the Bull City, and the goal is to provide many services all under one roof for those seeking refuge from violence. Survivors can come here to get help with the Crisis Response Center, free legal services, and the Sheriff's Office. There's also plans to add counselors and housing advocates. District Attorney Santana DeBerry tells me she sees the need in her office firsthand.
Outside of traffic-related charges, the number one charge thing that comes through my office is assault on the female. And that is usually an intimate partner-based issue, some issue of domestic violence. And it's really important for people to have resources.
And the DA also wanted to remind people that there is no wrong door to turn to when you need support, whether it's here or anywhere else. This new facility will officially begin offering its services starting tomorrow. Laura Levine, WREL News in Durham.
Roanoke Rapids is officially searching for its next police chief and a new investigative captain. The city began advertising the open roles after announcing the recent terminations of Chief B.L. Martin and Captain James Hardy. We told you back in March, the two were placed on administrative leave. According to the city's manager, an internal investigation found that Martin and Hardy violated some department policies. As of right now, Captain Gorton Williams serves as the interim chief and Sergeant Morgan Worrell is interim captain of the investigative division.
We're working to learn more about a car chase involving State Highway Patrol. This is video taken from the scene at the intersection of South New Hope Road and Old Pool Road. That's in southeast Raleigh. You can see a trooper searching in the nearby woods there. This all started around 11 p.m. Saturday night. Troopers tell us they began chasing a stolen car out of Zebulon. It reached speeds of 100 miles per hour. They lost sight of the car and later found it wrecked in Raleigh. Authorities are still working to find and identify the driver.
2023's Teachers of the Year will be honored at the White House today with a special thank you from President Biden and the First Lady. We're working to learn if North Carolina's Teacher of the Year, Kimberly Jones, will be there. She teaches 10th grade English at Chapel Hill High School. As the state's Teacher of the Year, Jones will spend the next school year traveling North Carolina and advocating for teaching as a profession. On today's deadline to apply for the Wake County Schools superintendent position, Caddy Moore announced her retirement back in February. She officially retires July 1st. The school district will look to name her replacement before then. They will review input from staff and the community on Friday.
President Joe Biden is expected to launch his campaign for re-election as soon as tomorrow. But as Bree Jackson shows us, there's some hesitation even among Democrats ahead of the president's announcement.
President Biden preparing to announce his re-election bid as soon as Tuesday.
President Biden has such a strong record to run on. He has gotten this country through the pandemic. He has the backs of the American people, and Americans know that.
The latest NBC News poll shows 70% of Americans believe Mr. Biden should not run for a second term, including 51% of Democrats. Many cite his age as a major reason why. At 80, Biden is already the oldest president to ever serve. His allies contend he is fit to do the job.
He is an active president who is meeting the challenges of America every day.
Topping the list of potential Republican challengers, former President Trump, who was recently indicted and still faces other criminal investigations.
I will continue to fight for our values, our faith, and our freedom.
Our NBC News poll shows voters do not have the appetite for a Biden-Trump rematch, a sentiment even some Republicans agree with.
And so we don't want to repeat that. It takes alternatives.
But the GOP is divided over who should lead the party.
They're supporting former President Trump, over these indictments, right? And there's a lot of support there. Republicans want someone who can win in November of 24. Donald Trump is a loser.
Former Vice President Mike Pence says he'll make a decision about challenging his old boss before late June.
That's Bree Jackson reporting, and tomorrow also marks the fourth anniversary of Biden's 2020 campaign launch. That same NBC poll referenced in the story found nearly 6 in 10 adults saying abortion should be legal, either always or most of the time. By contrast, a combined 38% believe abortion should be illegal all of the time or in some instances. These results are essentially unchanged from an NBC News poll released a year ago.
And breaking news here in the WREL Live Center, we just learned that anchor Don Lemon is out at CNN. This happening in the last 10 minutes. This comes after Lemon's controversial tenure as one of three anchors launching CNN's new morning show lineup. Lemon had been under scrutiny since making remarks back in February in reference to GOP presidential candidate Nikki Haley. The comments about women and aging were widely perceived to be sexist. Lemon was forced to undergo formal training as part of his return to the anchor desk. Again, CNN Don Lemon out from that morning show. Of course, our new news continues right now. Trained worker shortage. We'll tell you why the White House is not immune. Back in a moment.
Today's county-by-county coverage takes us to Moore, Cumberland, and Johnston counties. And we start in Moore County, where a tourism program we told you about last month is exploding in popularity. The Pinecone Pathways program has drawn people from as far away as Ohio to find one of the hand-blown pine cones hidden on trails in the Pinehurst, Southern Pines, and Aberdeen area. This morning, the Visitors Bureau announced they've hidden 100 more of those glass pine cones out on the trail. The scavenger hunt runs through Memorial Day. In Cumberland County, the town of Spring Lake is looking for a way to spruce up Main Street. Tonight, the town's Board of Aldermen will discuss how a rural transformation grant could help with that project. The work session starts at 6. You can watch on the town's YouTube channel. And an all-girl robotics team based out of Johnston County won an award in their first world championship. The team's coach posted this picture along with the announcement. They received the Rookie All-Star Award at the 2023 first championship in Houston on Saturday. G-Force is an all-girl high school robotics team with members from Wake and Johnston counties.
A shortage of trained workers could throw a wrench into the Biden administration's plans to expand broadband internet to rural areas. A White House report says there is a severe shortage of fiber splice workers. They're key to the $42.5 billion national high-speed internet plan, and a shortage could cause delays. The Biden administration said a goal to provide nationwide high-speed access by the year 2030. Millions of dollars worth of Chromebooks purchased by schools across the country might not last so long. School districts across the nation shifted to online learning due to the pandemic in 2020, and many in need of cheap laptops turned to Chromebooks. But a new report shows the Chromebooks are starting to have issues. A major one is repairability. The report says replacement parts are harder to find compared to other laptops.
Today, we're looking for uses for artificial intelligence that go beyond ChatGPT. Still ahead, how Ford is using the technology to crowdsource the driving experience of its new Mustang. And can AI help California fight its growing wildfire problems? A multi-million dollar challenge to slow the flames as soon as they spark. That story's coming up. Ford is using artificial intelligence to teach its new Mustang how to drive. Mustang Mach-E is the third most popular electric compact SUV. Ford says the new version of the hands-free Blue Cruise highway driving system makes it a smoother ride than previous models. Mustang Mach-E owners can opt into a program that shares their driving data with Ford so the automaker can keep improving the system.
A California utility is offering a prize to anyone who can use artificial intelligence to speed up the state's response to wildfires. As Cornell Bernard reports, it's about saving property and lives as the fires become larger and more frequent.
Imagine a world where technology could stop this and this from ever happening again.
It may be a contest like no other.
the goal to detect and extinguish a wildfire within minutes with the help of AI.
Think about being able to detect and suppress a high-risk wildfire in 10 minutes or less, or being able to pinpoint all fire ignitions across the size of multiple states or countries even from space in 60 seconds.
PG&E is a partner in XPRIZE Wildfire, a four-year competition with an $11 million prize going to the company or team which can innovate firefighting solutions to help end devastating wildfires in California and across the nation.
Along two complementary tracks, competing teams will design radically novel solutions to overcome some of the most significant barriers to how we currently fight fires.
Each team must develop satellite technology capable of detecting fires from space, then communicate on the ground with fully autonomous aircraft or drones, which can fly to the source of a wildfire and put it out. If it sounds like the stuff of science fiction, think again.
We want to partner with the best and the brightest, entrepreneurs, roboticists, artificial intelligence experts, scientists, and innovators from Silicon Valley.
Cal Fire is already using technology to fight fires. Tactical analyst tells planes where to go and gives personnel weather information. AI is also on duty around North Bay mountaintops. Wildfire detection cameras can relay information about where a fire starts.
Anything that can really be done to improve how we as a fire service and as emergency services can respond to developing incidents and keep them smaller is going to be a benefit to not only us, but to benefit to communities across the state.
We hope that this will be a complementary technology that will support our brave firefighters and that are out there on the front lines.
That was Cornell Bernard reporting there. Hopefully some of that technology finds its way this way, because we have a heck of a wildfire burning down east, Croatan National Park, 36,000 acres.
Yeah. Hopefully for that. But here in Raleigh, we're looking pretty today. It is cooler out there. Last week we felt like summertime. It's nice though, Elizabeth. 60s.
You know, at some point when it's 95, we're going to be wishing for 60s, that's for sure. And that sunshine always makes it feel a little bit nicer. And we're seeing plenty of that around the Triangle. But down to the south, we're still dealing with some cloud cover. Even a few isolated showers have popped up recently here on radar. Most of that's out of here, just south of Clinton. There's a tiny little shower showing up there on radar. But the bulk of this really isn't reaching the ground. So it's moving on out as well. You can see here on Futurecast, kind of slides on out of here in the next hour or so. And we continue to see clearing skies with plenty of sunshine, but again, temperatures are going to hold in the 60s for highs. At the beginning of the newscast, we talked about what's headed our way late this week. It'll be unsettled beginning on Wednesday and Thursday, and both of those days, we'll just see some isolated showers. But we have a front that'll come through on Friday, and then a separate one on Sunday, with Saturday looking a little bit drier. But keep checking back for updates. We're going to walk through what looks like the timeline, but we'll get a lot more versions of the computer models in between now and the weekend. And typically, you know, once we get another day or so down the line, they tend to usually come into better agreement. Right now, they're not completely agreeing on when that rain will arrive. But right now, it really looks like our best chance would be Friday and Sunday. So here's a look at Wednesday. We'll see some increasing clouds. We may end up staying on the drier side on Wednesday. But again, some of the models are showing some of that rain starting on Wednesday. Here's Thursday morning with a few scattered showers. And again, through the afternoon, it's fairly light. But then Friday, we'll likely have a front that comes through. Now, this is a pretty broad swath of rain at lunchtime. Most likely, as we start to get the higher resolution models in and about 2 days, like by Wednesday, we'll start to see this looking a little more narrow and we'll be able to time that out a little better. But it's likely to be lunchtime into the afternoon that front comes through. It may bring us some strong to severe thunderstorms and some heavy rain. After that, Saturday may not completely clear, but it doesn't look like we see a big front coming through. And then another front does develop here for Sunday and swings through and brings us another good chance of rain and potentially thunderstorms. So 60% Friday, 50% on Sunday. On Saturday, about a 30% chance. And then Wednesday and Thursday, again, it just looks like it would be light and patchy. All total for the next 7 days, certainly the rainfall looks significant. There could be some areas where we see up to 2 inches of rain and fairly widespread, an inch to an inch and a quarter. So looking at another good soaking. We've seen plenty of rain already this April, certainly. Since 1945, we've seen almost 6 inches. 6 inches this month, and it is the second wettest since 1945. So significant rainfall so far, and it keeps happening on the weekends. This weekend, if we see the rain, it would be the eighth weekend in a row that we had rain. Our temperatures will stay in the 60s for the next 5 days or so, and then we do bump up a little bit into the 70s, potentially on Saturday and Sunday. But again, it does look on the wet side, especially Friday and Sunday.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth.
A famous tourist destination is about to fine people $300 if they stop to snap a selfie. We'll tell you where this is and the reasons why for the crackdown still ahead.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, new information about a story WREL has been following for more than 20 years. It's out of Cumberland County, and it involves the ongoing search for Kent Jacobs. He was last reported missing in March of 2002. He was last seen in and around the Colonial Heights neighborhood in Hope Mills. We've just learned the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office Homicide Unit is executing a search warrant at 5437 Jackson Street in Hope Mills. That's in front of near one of the places Jacobs was last seen back in 2002. The Cumberland County Sheriff's Office says this executing the search warrant will take at least several days. We have a crew on this story. Look for new reporting on this story starting at 4 right here on WREL.
And our other top story today, Red Hat announced global layoffs are on the way, Jeff.
WRL News got a copy of a company email this morning, and in it, Red Hat CEO Matt Hicks said the layoffs begin this week. The email said the company was laying off just under 4% of the staff around the world. We're working to learn more about the impact this could have on the Raleigh headquarters, and we'll update you on our news starting at 4.
Some snacks made by PepsiCo are about to get healthier, not for us, but for the planet. The food company hopes to make all of its packaging compostable, recyclable, and biodegradable, or reusable by 2025. PepsiCo is reworking its packaging and opening a packaging innovation learning center. One of the first changes you'll see, its variety pack will soon be packaged in recyclable cardboard. PepsiCo says this decision will help take 12 million pounds of plastic waste out of the environment.
A popular tourist destination is banning selfies in some parts of town. The town of Portofino, Italy, is known for its iconic vistas. People there say that the folks stopping, pausing, take a good selfie, clogs up traffic and causes overcrowding. Snapping a selfie in a restricted area will now cost you a $300 fine. The town will try the restriction this summer from sunrise until 6 p.m.
A new addition to the Corolla Wild Horse herd has been discovered. Look at this. The Corolla Wild Horse Fund posted this picture to its Facebook page on Sunday, announcing the second foal of the year. His name is Drum. Along with a quick introduction, officials with the fund advise people to give new horses plenty of space.
Today's pet of the day comes to us from Safe Haven for Cats. Meet Hessian, a black and white tuxedo cat about 2 years old. Her mother was abandoned and brought her kittens to a kind soul in Garner who helped protect the young family. Now Hessian wants to pay it forward with love to another family who can give her a forever home. If you want to meet Hessian, you can contact Safe Haven for Cats. They're closed on Mondays, as a reminder, but you can check her out today on their website.
She's cute. Mm-hmm. Coming up on our news at 4, there's a growing threat to Apple users everywhere as victims are left permanently locked out of their accounts with no access to their phones or messages. We'll share some steps you can take to protect yourself. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, and your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
We have some sun out there right now for folks to get out and enjoy. Cool temperatures might feel good, right? You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.